stand, verses 1 through 20. I know y'all know this particular scripture. I'm going to talk about the continual awareness of the presence of the Lord. Amen. This is personal. I pray everybody would hear. And there's some key points I just want to talk to you about today, because I want everybody to encounter the Lord. Y'all know that. Okay. Let's read it together. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Amen. Amen. What's it saying? It's saying that God is here. God is with you. Okay? And He never leaves you. So He's here right now. And I remember I've shared this several times before. Years ago, you know, people will say, well, the Lord go with you. Yes, and that is a wonderful, wonderful statement to pray for somebody in life. But the main thing, and God corrected me in a way and said, no, pray that they would be aware of my presence in their life. We need to be aware that He's with us, because the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And according to Psalm 139, He is there. Wherever we go, He is there. Okay? I remember years ago, a pastor that was actually kind of a young pastor in the Lord, and he shared with us how he walked in purity and holiness. And he said he remembered, and this is when obviously he was going through some, as young people grow up and they get into a lot of things and all. And he told the crowd that how he was able to go through those things and maintain his integrity and his character. And that is, he always knew he was in God's presence. That God always saw him. God was always there. And he was able to realize that and sort of click into the reality of that. And I want you today to understand you're in the presence of the Lord right now. He's here. It's the awareness of His presence. And we talked about over the last couple of months of Him revealing Himself and the manifest presence, because that's when it's kind of like, whoa, God is in this place. And it's almost like the tangible presence. It's like you can reach out and touch Him. And He reveals His holiness and who He is, because He is holy. And He touches us in the depths of who we are. And we want Him to be in that manner, because when we go to heaven, that's what we're going to be. We're going to be in the manifest presence of the Lord. We're going to be in His tangible presence. We're going to be there like we never have before, the glory of God. And so that's what we're talking about here. Because when you walk in His presence, you know you're never alone. Certainly, that song actually spoke of that very clearly. But how do we do that? Because I've told the Lord, I said, yes, we're going to be in heaven and we're going to walk with you. But how do we do that now? I don't want to wait till heaven. I want to do that now. And I know you do too. Because see, it's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you and I walk. That's why Christianity is different from all other religions. All other religions are about what you do. If you do enough, that maybe your maker can somehow will accept you. But we know that we're accepted by grace. We can't earn it. By faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so we want to walk with Him now, because He wants that relationship. So from eternity past, He knew when you and I would be born. He knew that we were actually being born to come into an intimate relationship with Him. That's the reason we were born. And to be able to share that relationship with other people around us. It's not about how many toys we can get, and whoever can leave this world with the biggest toys are the winners, so to speak. No, it's a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God, and then God took him. Enoch never died. God, he walked faithfully, the Bible says, with God. And then God just took him up. He walked blamelessly or faithfully with the Lord for the years of his life on this earth, and then God just took him. Abraham walked intimately with the Lord. Noah walked intimately with the Lord. Think about it. Noah was living in a culture where nobody really was seeking the Lord. He and his family, Noah certainly was. And he built an ark. It hadn't rained before. Nobody didn't know it rained. They thought he was a fool. And when you walk with the Lord in that manner today, people are obviously going to discount you. People obviously will look down on you. And people will think that, oh my goodness, there's some kind of a religious nut here, and so forth. The same way they felt about Noah, because Noah walked by faith and not by sight. He just did what God told him to do. But he walked with the Lord in intimacy. And we were made to walk with the Lord, just like Adam and Eve, remember? But what happened as a result there when Adam and Eve, they sinned? It separated them, in a sense, from the Lord. And remember Adam, they had sinned, and Adam hid because the shame and the guilt came upon him. And he hid there in the forest and all. And God is saying, well, where are you, Adam? Well, it wasn't because God didn't know where he was. God knew where he was. But obviously, when God confronts us with something, it's not that God doesn't know our hearts. It's for us to see what's in our hearts so that we can bring that to Him. And if it needs to be cleansed, we can have it cleansed. Or if it needs for Him to come in and bring correction, He can bring correction. He already knows our hearts. He's God. He's always with us. But sin came in and separated us. But what did Jesus do? He restored the relationship. Hallelujah. He took my sins and your sins and the sins of the world upon His shoulder. He gave His life that you and I would know and have be restored to a relationship with our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so God wants that for us today. In Psalm 139, it says in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence here? And the answer is, I can't. You cannot get out of God's presence. He knows what we do. He knows what we do in the secret place. He knows everything about us, and He sees us all the while. And He's always waiting there to obviously receive us back when we stumble and fall because of what Christ has done. He's always there. And no matter where you go this week, God is going there also. That's good news, isn't it? So when something hits you, a catastrophe or something, a crisis or whatever, do you think somehow that God is not aware of it? That maybe He's sort of like, man, God, where is God in all of this? Well, He's right there. He knows. So what's He doing? Why are these things happening in the way that they are? It's because He wants us to come to Him and realize that we're totally dependent upon Him. That we try to live without God, you see. Adam and Eve also, they tried to live without God. They tried to obviously do it their way. They wanted to be the God of their lives. And that's the way we are too. We want to obviously ignore God. We want to obviously not consult Him when something's going on because we know better. And we know how to do this. I've been this way before. And therefore, I don't need to run to the Lord. I don't need to obviously get under the shadow of His wings, Psalm 91. I can do this myself. Thank you here. As Christians, we know the Lord dwells in us, and we carry with us His presence here. And so this truth ought to be a great comfort to you and me. When you're out in the marketplace, whatever you're doing, your job, or you're there in your home, and the grease flies off the stove, scalding grease, God's right there. God protects us, amen. God takes care of us. And many times coming on the freeway, you can look back and see God was there all the time. At the time that we know that We didn't realize it necessarily, and we've had testimonies where we did realize that God was right with us. I mean, manifest in His presence, whether it be in your car or in your quiet time with the Lord or wherever it may be. God is with us. And there are times when we feel lonely and sad, lost and abandoned, and His presence remains a dormant theory. And we fail to experience the joy and hope and security of His presence. You know the old hymn that says, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Y'all remember that hymn, okay? He tells me I am His own. He walks with me. He talks with me. All these things are theologically correct. They're biblically correct and all. But somehow these things, again, remain obviously just theory, so to speak, or maybe head knowledge, and we don't actually walk in it day by day. And God wants us to walk in it day by day, obviously. So here's the thing. If God is around and you can't experience Him, then this truth is really of no use to you. It's useless. It doesn't make a difference. But the truth is, God is always with you, and you can experience and enjoy His presence. You know that old hymn says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. So how do I sense His presence in my life and be blessed? There are a couple things I want to mention. I pray that God would just nail it on your hearts today, because it's so powerful and it's so simple that even we all forget it. But first of all, how do we obviously put into practice, which I talked to you before, obviously last week on some of the messages, we talked about His presence. And you want, how do we experience it? I always talk in the sense of how does it relate to be relevant to my life today? Because the Bible is relevant. It's not just something, a history book that we can learn from. Great, praise the Lord. But it's something, how can the Bible be applied to my life today? That's what I preach on, topical. And actually, that's what I want in all of your life. How do we do it? Number one, remembering. Remembering. What happens when obviously that you get going and you're not thinking about Him? And all chaos breaks out. Everything's breaking out around you. What happens? If we forget all about Him. We forget that He is with us. That He's ever-present help in our time of trouble. We forget all about it. And we've forgotten about Him in the midst of our trouble or pain. Hardship and calamity drowns out the sound of His voice. Because we forget Him. Remember Him. Remember Him. And obviously, what happens when that takes place? We turn inward and we focus on ourselves. And what happens then? We feel sorry for ourselves. So self-pity kicks in. Self-pity. Oh, poor me. This is not happening to anybody else. It's just happening to me. We forget that God is there with us, and that as a child of God, the Bible says, since God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for us all, how much more along with Him will He give us all things? So we forget about Him, don't we? And we go and begin to pull inward. And what do? We take matters in our own hands many times. And Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, he's, do be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Now, remember the story of Joshua here, the difficulties and the obstacles and enemies that he faced there. Remember the situation there? And God is saying, do not be afraid or terrified. Obviously, you need to calm down and think. You need to quiet your inner being and shut off all noises and listen to the voice of God. Reflect on the fact He's here. He's with you right now, no matter what you're going through, because in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. So, always think about it. He's always there with you. And there are three things that He's there to do. In other words, He's there to strengthen you. He's there to help you. He's there to support you. He's there to do all these things. Why? Because His Word has been spoken to you and me through, obviously, the pages here in this book, but also to our hearts. It's truth, and it doesn't change. The Lord never changes. So His truth is for you and me together here. In Psalm 40:27:10, it says, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will not forsake me here. If everybody leaves you, then He will not forsake you. God will never walk out on you. He was the one that took the first step to walk into your life through Christ. So why would He leave? He's the one started this in your life and my life here, and He wants to walk with you. He wants you to be able to go through these things in your life, my life, no matter what it is, and knowing that He is always with me and He will help me. And that's why prayer is so important, to talk to Him about it. So the second thing here is not only remember, come on back. The second thing is recognize. In other words, trust His presence. We need to believe it. We know it, but we don't really believe it, do we, many times? Remember here the story. This is so good. Moses sent the 12 spies out, and they went into the land of Canaan. Remember, it was the land of milk and honey. It was a good place. God said, I got this place for you. Here, y'all go into it. And remember there, 10 came back. And what did they say? They said, there's a big problem here. The people in that land are big. The problems here, if we go this way, they're big. It's a big problem. 10 out of the 12 said that. It's very relevant to what we're talking about. They had the same truth that all the others had also, but they saw it differently. And the way we see our problems, we see it from God's eyes. But those 10 spies, the majority, said, we got a big problem here. There's no way. But what did two of them say? Caleb and Joshua. They said, no problem. No problem, right? No problem. We can take it. God says so. See, there's a call on your life and my life. So there's no different here than Joshua and Caleb. The same thing applies to you and me. So there is no problem that our God cannot conquer. There's no mountain that He can't level in your life and my life, no matter what we're going through. Things do not look good in our culture, folks. Have you noticed it? I'm telling you. I mean, it hits home when it hits the family. I was watching just a short time on the TV this morning, and somebody else had taken some money out of the ATM. And they had gone, and evidently he stopped in someplace, maybe even get a coffee or something, left the money in there, and I forgot how much it was. It was quite a tidy sum, and left the money in there, and they broke in within a matter of a few seconds and took the money and took off. He lost his thousands of dollars, whatever the amount was, okay? We are obviously in need of the Lord here today, in need of His presence in our lives. If God withdrew His presence from your life and my life, which He won't, but if He did, then let me tell you, it's all going to break loose. And that's what will happen. I believe that my interpretation, translation of the scriptures talk about when the restrainer is taken out of this world, that everything is going to get worse and worse and worse. Do you know what's going to happen? Because that's actually going to happen. Because darkness will obviously completely consume and so forth. Okay, but see, the light of Christ in your life and my life is obviously pushing the darkness out, and we need to continue to maintain. That second group said no problem here. They had the same, obviously, they had the same knowledge, but they had to believe it. You got to believe it. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe the Word that God has set in your heart is true to you today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? He said it. He said, obviously, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Do we believe it? A lot of people don't believe it today. Great, wonderful people, nice people today. They believe that somehow they can work their way to heaven, that maybe they haven't done anything as bad as their neighbor has, so to speak, and they believe that they can kind of earn their way to heaven. But let me tell you, the Word of God is true. It is inerrant, it's infallible. And it is true for you and to me today here. Imagine, obviously, remember the story? Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. I believe it was the Sea of Galilee. It's in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8. Remember what happened? And a storm came up, okay? And the boat started filling up with water. And so the disciples were in there. Jesus was asleep in the boat. He was sleeping up there. And the disciples were looking, and here come the waves and the water. And obviously, they're like, Jesus doesn't care about us. He's going to let us go under. We're going to sink and we're going to drown out here in this sea. And so they woke him up. Jesus looked around, totally at peace and all that. And he spoke to the waves and the seas, and they all calmed down. And what did he say? Oh, ye of little faith. You got to believe, right? Well, let me give you a little story from my own perspective, example. We were leaving Denver here this past week. In Denver, actually, where the mountains come in, where the airport is, the air, they say, comes over the mountains. And so at the airport, there's a lot of turbulence that takes place. I don't like turbulence. I like it smooth. Flying is not necessarily something that I just feel really comfortable about anyway, because I'll look for the engines. Are the engines looking okay? And, you know, does everything look like it's running right? Are the wings hanging on there like they should? All this other stuff, you know. So Cindy and I are sitting in the back. And so we take off, and here we go down the runway. And we ran, and we ran, and we ran. I thought, is he going to pull up? But what was happening in the meantime, the back end was swaying back and forth like this. Just a little bit. It wasn't bad. But it was like swinging. And I thought, this thing starts swinging a whole lot. This thing's going to swing around, and that's going to be it. Well, I hold on to the seat in front of it. Nobody else is. Cindy's fine with it. Everybody else in the whole place, nothing, no problem at all. They're enjoying the ride. I'm grabbing a hold of the seat. I don't know what difference it would make. If the plane crashed or whatever, I'd be holding on to the seat. I'd be going down with it, but I'd be holding on to the seat, okay? And so finally, when we took off, and then we hit the turbulence, the thing's shaking, okay? And I looked at the wings, and the wings are moving. And I know that the wings are not obviously rigid. They're actually supposed to move. But for me, when we're bouncing like that, and we're dipping and coming back up, I don't like roller coasters. I've ridden them, but I don't like them. They're not my favorite ride. I like the kiddie stuff where you get on there and the little bear, you sit in there and you ride around real smoothly like that. All the other amusement rides, I don't want any parts of. Okay. Can you get the picture? I was hanging on. And you know what? Life's like that too. Life is turbulent. Life throws at us things we never thought that we would ever encounter. But the truth of the matter was, Jesus is right there with us. That he's always there with us, and he'll never leave us. And I had to reflect, I had to remember. You see, I forgot about it, and I got my focus on the wings and how the rear end of the plane, to me, was swinging. It may not swing very much, but to me, it was really swinging, okay? So he finally lifted off, of course. I'll give you another thing. We were sitting in the back there, and here comes families with the babies. One family after the other. I mean, babies, 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 okay? And I said, they're going to sit up there. Because they came on crying. They're going to be sitting in the front. And I look, and I could tell they weren't looking at the numbers for the seats. They were coming right straight back to where we were. And so as it turned out, here are these families with these babies, where we were surrounded by that. And I looked at Cindy and I said, wow, how did this happen? And I started thinking here, and I said, here we go. The babies are crying. We got a couple hours flight or more, and the baby's going to be crying the whole time. I said, how am I going to do this? And I told Cindy, I said, repeat after me that we're going to get through this, okay? We're going to get through this, okay? Determined in my own strength, okay? And I looked at Cindy and I said, you know what this is? And Cindy looked at me and she said, it's a test. I said, it's exactly a test. It is a test. And I said, Lord, and I started thinking, and I felt like the Lord said, you better change your attitude, boy. And so I turned, I said, Lord, you know those babies crying are music to your ears, okay? They're music to your ears. Because love, that's life, that's new life that God has brought into this world. And I'm sitting there talking about like an old grump, okay? And what's happening? Because why? Because I was inconvenienced. Because somehow this was going to affect me and the comfort of my flight. I'd already been scared to death taking off. So how am I going to take it for the next 2 hours of screaming babies, okay? And I finally said, Lord, it's music to your ears, and I know that. Change my heart. And do you know, within just a matter of a few minutes, they were all asleep. And we had a quiet time. We didn't have any trouble with the babies. It was a test. It was a test to see whether or not I would turn to him or maybe try to kind of do it on my own, you know, the same way with flying or whatever. We know it's a quick way of traveling and so forth. And we do it a lot. But sometimes it's just a feeling about it. But the thing is, again, we've got to trust him. I know all this stuff up here. I preach it. I teach it. I know it. Study it. But if I don't have faith, it's of no avail. If I don't believe it, it's of no use, because without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it's impossible to please God. Because you've got to believe that he is who he says he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Although, obviously, remember, God had promised to give Israel the land of Canaan. It was already their inheritance here. They had to fight. You see, sometimes, I know if I said, how many of you in here really want to do God's will? Everybody go, yeah, Jim, of course. Want to do God's will. But what happens is when trouble hits us, we start questioning. We think, oh my goodness, we're out of the will of God. Well, remember Moses? Moses was smack dab in the middle of God's will. And then, obviously, we know he didn't have, obviously, he had to cross. He came up against the Red Sea. Okay, think about it. He came up, and here the Egyptians were right on their tail end. They're getting ready to wipe the several million people out, okay? And he's up, faced up against the sea. And Moses is going, well, okay. And what did God say? Raise your staff up. Trust me. And so Moses raises his staff, and the Red Sea splits. Moses faced obstacle, folks. What I'm saying, it's not that you're out of the will of God necessarily. It's because God is testing you. God is building you up. God is making you more like Jesus, okay? But you got to have faith. You got to know that this is what's happening here. Obviously, we know all these problems did not change the fact God was still with Moses, and God's with you and me. While the challenges that y'all face, health-wise and different things going on in your life, we think somehow maybe God doesn't know about it. And somehow maybe we're really going to go down the tubes. No, we're not. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. But do you trust Jesus' leadership? That's the question. Do you trust his leadership, you see? God's gift of his presence had nothing to do with the earthly circumstances. Faith trusts that God's purposes will be fulfilled in spite of the threats, dangers, detours, and even destruction here. Paul said he had fought the good fight of faith. He had to fight. Now, if the Apostle Paul had to fight, you and I are going to have to fight also to maintain, to remember, and then to recognize. Trust him. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but you can trust him. He'll work it out. But how are you going to do that? I'm going to share with you in just a moment here. The third thing is realize. Realize. You got to tune into his presence. Where's God? Where is he when you hurt? He's right with you. He's walking with you now as a believer. If you've accepted Christ, you believe and put your trust in Jesus, not just as your Savior, but your Lord. Is he Lord over your life? Is he master over your life? Is he in control of your life? Have you surrendered your heart and life to him? That is where the rubber hits the road. That's what he's asking today. Who's in charge of your life? You or me or God? One of the other is going to be in charge. He doesn't obviously divide loyalty there. It's one or the other. And when this life, this journey that we're on, what he's doing is he's showing us over and over and over again. We can trust ourselves at all. And we have to trust him, don't we? We have to trust him. You see, God has a big sign over your life and my life, protected by God. You know those signs you put in your yard when you have a security system in there? And all, you know, for ABT or whatever, and all. You got a sign over your life flashing, protected by God. Nothing can come to you without it going through God's hands. Nothing can get to you and I. But we have to believe it. We've got to know that. And you can walk in peace if you do. And so you need to realize that. I remember years ago I was doing hospice and I was at the inpatient unit down in the medical center. And it was a family. They were talking to me about the Lord and how, you know, their church and all this kind of stuff. And I remember what they said. They said, I'll never forget it too. And this is not to put them down because we all do this, okay? It's a reminder to me, and I want to just share with you. But actually, they were talking about the fact, and it was at a time where the government was saying, we're going to take away all your Social Security, or they thought that that's what they were saying. There were threats about one party saying they're going to take all your Social Security. That's one way that one gets the votes over the other. They start threatening. And people, what happens? People get afraid. And what do? They do some irrational things. And they told me, they said, well, you know, we live off of our Social Security. And the government said that they're going to stop Social Security or Medicare. You hear that all the time. All that is basically that the government obviously was trying to get your loyalty to them because the other party is going to take it away and you better vote for us. Okay? And they were afraid. And I said this, and I wasn't trying to be rude or pious or, you know, any religious in that sense and all that. I said, our security is not in our Social Security. Our security is not in our bank account. Our security is not in our health. Our security is not in our homes. Our security is in Jesus and Him alone. And you know He knows about it. And they looked, they talked, you're right, you're right. I want to tell you, we got to tune in to His presence. We got to realize there. David says in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. He's at my right hand. I've set the Lord before me. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. But it's a conscious decision, a mental choice. Obviously, He knows. He believes it and He chooses to focus on Him. His presence is most felt when you're able to hear His voice and when you engage with Him. Okay, let me give you an example. Suppose that you went to a small cafe for a cup of coffee. Okay, it can be male, female, whoever, man or woman here, and you were the only one there. Well, you sat there at the table all alone, and a few minutes later, another person came and sat at the same table, and then another, and then finally another came in, and they sat there at the same table also. Well, you're no longer alone. You're in the presence of three other people, right? But it's a very odd situation. Everybody was quiet. You don't know where to look. Nobody's talking here. And then somebody broke the ice. And somebody talked about the hot weather. And we could talk about that here, can't we? Or talked about a TV program here. Or news, whatever is coming out. The other chipped in, and then the next person spoke. And then this conversation took off. And all four had a great chat and a good meal together. You see, God is like that. God is waiting for us to engage with Him and to talk to Him. He walks with me and He talks with me. Well, normally, obviously, you know, some of us may be introverts. Some of us are extroverts, okay? It doesn't make any difference the type of personality that psychologically that has been assigned to you. But when you begin to engage with the Lord, He'll engage back. There are things that He will do. He gives you joy. He gives you peace that you can't ever describe. But you got to talk to Him. He's here. Do you talk to Him? When you're going around, He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He's saying in all circumstances, this is what God does. How are you engaging with Him, you see? You know He's there and you believe He's there and you know He heard you. And I believe that's the manifest presence of the Lord. When His presence is there, we're to walk in His presence. You know, last week in Psalm 51, David had sinned against God. And God was still there with him. But David was obviously crying out, saying, I can't live without your presence. And we know, obviously, the Holy Spirit came and went with them. We have the Holy Spirit with us always. But David was saying something very significant to you and I. And he says this, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't do that, Lord. I'm in trouble if you do that. Your presence. If you go through the Psalms and look at that, it talks about the presence of God. And when the presence of God is with you, you can go through whatever it is that you face in life. It doesn't mean that everything will smooth out. It just means that you can go through there and get out on the other side with the victory. And that's what God wants to do. Because He is our victory. He is our Lord. And so what happens? We forget about Him. Because chaos comes in. And we sort of like, our mind gets on the particular things that are there, aren't we? And that's that natural way of looking at it. I'm not saying that obviously this is something that just is a piece of cake. You have to discipline yourself to do this. And you may not, obviously, you won't do it right completely each and every time. But what do? You keep getting back up and you keep coming back into the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote a book, Practicing the Presence of God. And he was born in 1611. And he wrote that. And he was a dishwasher. Okay. And he practiced. If y'all want to read something really good, get that book or get online and look up, obviously, some brief version, some cliff notes of how he lived his life. Okay. And he lived that. He always was in the presence of the Lord. And he walked with joy. You want joy? Get into the presence of God. He's here. Because what happens is life gets to be boring. Life gets to be dull and hard and so forth. Come, Lord, touch me. Let me get in your presence. Because in what? In Psalm 16. Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. You want to do that? Don't you want to walk in that? Doesn't that make your heart hungry to walk in the presence of the Lord? Doesn't it? See, you and I, we were made for that because that's relationship. We weren't made to, obviously. Nothing wrong with your devotional times and getting alone to be with the Lord. Definitely here. But why? We get up and then we go on and do our own thing sometimes. It's all every moment of every day. Am I there yet? No. I'm more aware now today than I was yesterday yet. I am. No matter what happened. Do I always do it right? Do I always respond correctly? No, I don't. But what I do, Brother Lawrence was the same way. He said, Lord, I bring all my failures to you. I bring all the things that I have, obviously, the sin there or mistakes that I have made. So let me tell you how to do it and how to start it real quick, simply. How do you get into the presence of the Lord? Start praising Him. Start praising Him. Simply, if you don't get anything out of this, start praising Him, right? How do you do that? You just begin to thank Him. You're talking to Him. You begin to praise Him. You begin to worship Him. And many times I'll use that word worship. And I know, obviously, worship comes in different ways. But I'll just say, Lord, I worship You. I praise You. I thank You for this day. I thank You for Jesus. And begin to thank Him and begin to praise Him. And watch what happens because you get the focus off yourself and self-pity gets thrown on the backside. Right? Get your faith, get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. And His presence in your life, He'll change your whole life. You can choose to develop a friendship with God where you have an ongoing conversation with Him. He loves to talk to you. He walks and talks with me. Okay? That's not biblically incorrect, actually. That is correct here. So, a couple things we can do. And the reason why is, remember Genesis 28? We talked about it several weeks ago. Jacob was there and he put a rock down to sleep on it. I don't know how it wasn't my pillow, okay? It was a rock. It was his rock, okay? Remember? And he lay down and he had a dream. And he saw a ladder going up to heaven and angels were descending, ascending, going up and down the ladder. God was at the top of the ladder and God revealed Himself and said, Jacob, I still got my plan for you. Genesis 28. You want to know, see this story? It's wonderful. And he said, I still got my plans for you. And he said, obviously, you're going to leave a great inheritance of people here. I've got a plan for your life, remember? And he woke up. He had a dream. He woke up. And what did he say? He said, surely God was in this place. I didn't even realize it. I want to realize it, don't y'all? I want to know Him. My whole prayers is, Lord, I want to know You. And the only way that we can know Him is live day by day because I want to feel His presence. And I don't always feel His presence. But that's my desire. That's my drive. That is my whole focus. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to sense you. I want your manifest presence. I want your tangible presence in my life. And I want to walk with you like I'll walk with you when I get to heaven. I want the practice now, don't y'all? I want the practice right now. He walks with me and he talks with me, you see. Obviously, we got to want it. Got to want him. We say, I'm going to do things on my own because you're hard-headed. We're all hard-headed, actually. But if we want the real answer, it's really Jesus, because you know he's the answer, and I do. Why don't we turn to him? Why don't we obviously get to know him, draw close to him? What did Jacob do when he knew the presence of God? What did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped. When you're in the presence of God, you'll worship. We all come in here on Sunday morning. This is corporate worship because you can worship God anywhere. And we come in because we're busy. Maybe you've come and you've gotten up and you're going, I'm here. I'm here. Okay. You're here. You've driven. And then traffic is traffic and so forth. And you come in. You know what? I suggest just encourage you, bow your head and say, Lord, I've come to worship you because I'm going to walk in your presence. I want to know you. And the only way I know you is walk in your presence. David knew that. He said, I can't live without your presence. I'm done. I'm done. Nothing that I can do outside in my own way and my own will is going to make an eternal difference in anybody's life or any situation that I go through in life. It's in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And I want joy, and I know you do too. Now, happiness is happiness. I love to be happy. A lot of people are mistaken about happiness. Happiness, obviously, is determined many times by your circumstances. My circumstances are going good. Man, I'm happy. Woo! Wow, this is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, I'm happy. Everything is good. It's good. All right? Joy is supernatural. And joy has to be imparted in your life by the Lord God Almighty. But if you begin to worship him, it turns things around. And I've always told you when I come up and I begin to worship the Lord, you know, a lot of things are going on because I'm talking, introducing, praying, and so forth. But I've come here to worship him, okay? And it takes my engaging with him. It takes my obviously talking. And Lord, I'm going to get in your presence. I want your presence. Because without his presence, obviously, we know nothing else matters. Nothing else. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't want anything to get between you and me. And what happens when you come in, you get in the presence of the Lord, he may show you something in your life you didn't know was there. And what do with it? You confess it. You confess it and let him cleanse you of it and so forth. But in his presence, he's holy. He's completely holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he begins to reveal things because he wants you to know him. He wants you to encounter him. And so what do? Real simply, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. Make sense? Remember, recognize, go back. Remember, this coming week, I pray that God's Spirit would bring back to remembrance, not what I've said, but what he says, that you remember that he is with you. You're not alone. A lot of people today, and I know this because I'm working with them, and I am one. Seasoned citizens. At my age now, I call everybody seasoned. I don't say senior because, to me, I'm a senior, okay? I say seasoned because it sounds a little bit more palatable. Sounds a little bit more better, okay? I am, and my age is flying off the charts and so forth and all that. But as we get older, we know that a lot of times that we know that that older people get lonely. Okay, right? We get lonely. Always remember, you're never alone. Jesus is with you. He's always with you. And if you'll reverently seek him and just open your heart to him, he'll reveal himself to you. And you go, I'm not alone. Even though people around us, many people have a lot of people around them, and they're still lonely. A lot of people don't. You know that, don't you? A lot of people. And they're still lonely. No matter whether people are there or not, Jesus is there. He's here. And he's with you and me. He wants you and me to be aware of His presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. We just pray and just agree. You know, prayer, when I say amen, you say amen. What you're saying and be, Lord, may it be as you've spoken. Not because I pray what God says, okay? But you can just agree when I pray for us as we close. Father, thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, we're never alone. When we went through trials and tribulations, and no matter what it was, even before maybe we got saved, and we look back and say God was there all the time, Lord, we recognize that, and we recognize your presence, and we want to know you, and we give you praise that you were there all the time. And Lord, whatever it is you're facing you today, whatever you'll face this week, the Lord will be with you. The Lord is there with you, and the Lord will keep you, and He'll make His face shine upon you, and He'll bless you. You're going out and you're coming in. And Lord, today we thank you and praise you for your presence. Lord, as we get ready to have lunch with some beautiful, beautiful people, we just pray you would dwell with us. We would be aware, because we know in unity that you dwell with your people in unity. And we know, obviously, your word says that's where you command your blessing, in the unity of your people. Father, we want to know you. I pray every person here would experience you this week, Lord, and that they would walk in your presence, and they would go, they'd be hungry for you, hunger for more of your presence, Lord, hungry for more of you. That's where our hearts are bent right this day. Thank you, Lord, today for your presence and your love. Father, we pray today, if there be sickness, we bring it to you. We pray, Father, you drive it out in Jesus' name. We speak right now healing in everybody's heart and life right now in the name of Jesus. We right now, anybody that maybe is dealing with a habit or addiction, something in their life, something that keeps grabbing hold of them and they can't shake it, right now, Lord, break it off of them. Break it off of them, Lord. We take authority over that particular issue in the name of Jesus, and we cast it out. Lord, if there be anybody who just needs times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord today, Lord, they be refreshed in your presence, because, Lord, it's hot. And we know physically, but also, Lord, we know emotionally and sometimes spiritually, it's just hot. And we need to be refreshed in your presence. So, Lord, we come to you today giving praise, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Amen. We're going to eat here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's go eat.